turn together to the scripture reading for tonight, 2 Corinthians 1, and we will read together the verses 3 through 11. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. I would also like to suggest that sometimes when I'm in the pew, I like to do this with another Bible passage. I'd encourage you to open your Bible also to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, because I'm going to refer to it, and you may find yourself wanting to turn there. I'm not going to read it at this point, but we're going to read together 2 Corinthians 1, the verses 3 through 11. Let's pray with God's word open in front of us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in this cool place where we can sit comfortably without threat, without worry, and we can be together to sing and to pray and to open your word. Now we pray that your word would comfort us, that it would find us in our places of need, and that it would move us to places of new life as we reach out and care for one another. So we pray that inside we are not noisy or too busy to hear your call, but we pray that you'd help us to hear with our whole heart and then respond. Thank you for your good gifts, and thank you for visiting us in the person of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So this week, my inbox and my email had a remarkable email in it. And the email was to me and to the staff and the leadership of Georgetown, thanking me, thanking us for the kinds of things that we value around here, namely not counting numbers, which maybe tonight is a really good thing, that we're not a church that's about trying to fill the parking lot or fill every pew, but that we are a congregation that is working on relationships. And this particular member of our congregation said, we value that, we appreciate that, we see that. That is the most important thing about the church. We are only as strong as our relationships. Now, I have in my inbox a little file that I keep that's called Worth Saving. And anytime I get one of those emails, it goes into that file folder, and I keep it for the rough days, the harder weeks, and I will pull that out and read it. But I'm reminded of that, of what the church is, that it's about relationships. And I'm reminded, too, that the struggles that are in the life of our body together are sometimes the very things that bring us more strongly together. When I listen to members of this congregation, they mention oftentimes with fondness how I or we had gone through a difficult period in our lives and the church was there for us, or the church people were there for us, and how much that was part of the faith journey for them. So this week, my heart and mind gravitated to this text as I was living with that email a bit and thinking about it and thinking about who we are together and wanting to value the relationships that lie between us. And I had thought about that this was a text tonight that was going to be all about comfort. In fact, the word comfort appears in this passage 9 times in Greek. I thought I'd be writing a sermon on comfort. But verse 8 this week is what really captured me, and I wanted to invite you to dwell on it with me for a few moments tonight. Paul says something we would not normally expect. He says that our hardship, our suffering, our difficulty was so intense, it was so pronounced, that we could not endure it. We couldn't do it. The suffering was so strong that we could not do it. We could not endure it. He says, we despaired. It was like death itself. And the only thing we've got going is that God is a God who raises the dead. This is what he says. So that's what we're hoping for as we are in the process of being delivered. And in that deliverance, we are being helped along by your prayers. That's what he says. Framed in the context of community, I thought, wow, this is a lot for us to think about. Because in the life of the church, we often hear one another saying, quoting 1 Corinthians 10:13, well-meaning people say, God never gives you more than you can handle. Maybe some of us have said it. And in this particular text, challenges that. To challenge us to think about, that's not the case. In fact, Paul says, I've got more than I can handle. I've got more than I can endure. And what we're often doing is misquoting 1 Corinthians 10, which is all about temptation. God does not allow you to be tempted past what you can bear. But I think the hardship and the sufferings and the burdens that we sometimes feel is more than we can bear. It's more than we can take. And the reason is crystal clear from Paul's words that it's so that we turn toward one another and turn toward God in our time of need and in our time of weakness. So when brothers and sisters, when we ourselves feel like we are in a spot where this is more than I can handle, it's not a matter of an absence of faith. What you are experiencing is the real deal. This is what Paul is speaking to. This is more than I can handle all on my own. And he says the only reason I can see a tomorrow or see a today is not only because God raises the dead, but because I am being helped along by your prayers. I am feeling the support of the saints. And this is why we need Christian community. This is why we need other sufferer strugglers, some who have gone through it in their own versions. Some who say, I will do anything to help because they've been there. Some who say that they're on standby and they're ready and waiting to be a companion while we are going through something very challenging. So if there's anything you remember about today in this text, there are some things that we cannot do alone. And I think that's what Paul is saying to us. Maybe Paul realized that in his own life for the very first time. We need each other. And like Paul, maybe sometimes we find ourselves being helped along by someone else's praying, and if not, maybe the call for us is to be the ones doing the praying. Something happens to us when you and I carry someone else in our heart. I think there's a mysterious power that's unleashed, kind of like when wind meets a wing. A lift is produced almost magically or supernaturally. So in community, when the exchange happens, the transaction of comfort and meeting suffering and suffering meeting comfort, something happens to each one of us. We get a sense of participating with the body of Christ. What happens to us and what happens to fellow believers is that we find our lives and our stories being woven together. We start making connections with other people who have gotten a difficult diagnosis or who are caring for a loved one, and these hard times grow us together. When I look back at the most significant times in my life and in the life of my family and in our marriage, these are the growing times are the times that tend to be the more difficult ones. So here's the thing with comfort. Comfort does not remove suffering. Being a Christian does not take away suffering. It doesn't take away hardships or difficulties or struggles. Sometimes it may feel like they're amplified because we think it should be taken away. Sometimes our struggle and our tribulation is with God because God doesn't seem to be picking up the phone or answering the door. Paul names his own struggles with God, but we have a God who has chosen to be found in suffering, and that too is hopeful for us. Maybe somewhere God said, it takes one to know one, and so God said, I'm going to go there to those hard places of tribulation and suffering and struggling with you. And maybe there's comfort in that for us. As much as the sufferings are Christ's are ours, so the comfort of Christ that comes to us and with those who identify with his broken body, God joins our broken bodies. So the church and community is like strings or connective tissue or the tablecloth that sometimes sits on the communion table. When you pull one strand, one cord, it impacts the whole thing. We all feel it. This is why Paul talks about sharing in the sufferings and sharing in the body of Christ. It's good news for us to feel that kind of comfort that we are not alone. And just know that a ministry of compassion is an empowering one. It encourages, it calls out hidden gifts we never knew we had before, and it produces courage. There's a member of this congregation who about 2 weeks ago said to me, I received a phone call from my elder deacon or care provider, and you have no idea what it meant to receive that call at that moment. That moment was the moment in which God sent that phone call in my direction. And I sat down with the elder deacon and care provider and asked them about that moment, and they were filled with so much fear and apprehension and said, well, that moment was not that moment for me. I had no idea God was using me in that moment because I felt so inadequate in that moment. And it seems to me like vulnerability met vulnerability in that moment, and God was doing something with it. So ministry of comfort and compassion gives new strength and new power in all of the weak places. And I think it causes us to grow up in new ways. So today I want us to hold on to Paul's words and take comfort in the awareness that Jesus chose suffering as a strategy to join us and to comfort us in our time of need. Paul reminds us that we are part of the woven body of Christ and somehow have solidarity with him in his sufferings, even as we hold on to and struggle with one another. And I want to remind us that not all prayer requests, not all things going on in the life of a congregation show up in a prayer guide or in an end of the week. And you know that because you hear one another and you listen to one another. And I want to encourage us to remember and to hold and to carry all of the things that never get spoken from a pulpit, and know that God is holding those very same things in God's own heart too. A ministry of comfort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for reminding us that in our times of need, sometimes life brings things that are more than we can bear on our own. Thank you for providing other brothers and sisters in Christ for just those moments. Forgive us for the times in which we have felt strong enough to bear it or to overcome it, when in fact you have brought us to seasons of weakness to draw us closer to you and closer to one another. So give us courage to receive your comfort in our time of need, whether it comes directly through you or directly through brothers and sisters who are operating in your name. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your sufferings and glory. We thank you that Paul could write these words from a place of memory, remembering what it was like and celebrating your grace distributed through other believers who trusted you, who prayed to you. So we pray that we might have that same kind of faith as we hold and carry one another in seasons of struggle, of tribulation and hardship. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.